This week is there's two parshas, Nitzavim and Vayelach. If you give me 1 minute, just to go through the basic structure of how we do the parsha, which is important to see. We're almost at the end of the Torah, right? We're pretty much at the end. Now, the actual ending always coincides with what's the day that we always complete reading the Torah?
Simchas Torah.
That's right. So we have Sukkot, and the end of Sukkot we have Shmini Atzeres, and then comes Simchas Torah. And Simchas Torah is the joy of the completion of the Torah. That's always when we finish reading Mezos HaBracha. So it depends on the year. Sometimes you have to double over two parshas in a week in order that it should fit, that we're ready to complete Mezos HaBracha. So I'll explain to you. So this week is going to be Nitzavim and Vayelach together. Two very short parshas, only a total of 70 pesukim total. Nitzavim is 40, Vayelech is 30. Vayelech is the shortest parsha of the Torah. And then next week, we're not going to have any parsha reading. What's the reason? Next Shabbos.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. Whenever it's a festival, and we don't read the parsha, we read something about the festival. The next week is going to be Hazinu. The next Shabbos is going to be, what will be the next Shabbos after that? Will be the first day. Sukkot. It's going to be Sukkot. So that's going to be a Sukkot reading.
Oh, Sukkot, yeah.
It's going to be a Sukkot reading, right? And then the next Shabbos is going to be Shmini Atzeres. And then that Sunday is Simchas Torah, I believe. Sunday is Simchas Torah, and then we're going to read Mezos HaBracha. So that's the schedule. So the next, it's a busy time. Rosh Hashanah. We have the Shabbos Shuva, Yom Kippur. First days of Sukkot, last days of Sukkot, and Simchas Torah. Beautiful, beautiful, elevating time. It's a, we have a Shana Rabbah in the mix. It's a time where we could really reach heights that we can't reach the rest of the year. So, Parshas Nitzavim. You have this verse, and actually we're actually gonna do something from Vayelach. And we'll talk a little bit about Nitzavim too. So it sounds like this. The Torah talks about, let me get a chumash. Apologies. So let's do a basic overview of what we have. Last week we had all the curses, which we spoke about, I believe, last week. We have all the curses where we're warned what will happen if we don't listen to the Torah. Then we have Nitzavim, where Moshe sort of comforts the people. And he tells them that you're all standing, still alive, survived it. You know, you're big, you're good people, and you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then he writes what's going to be if we don't listen again, and the blessing and the curse. And then he writes about Hashem one day is going to bring us all back from exile. He's going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Then we have, he tells us about the Torah, that everybody could attain the Torah. And then we have Vayelach. And we have Moshe commanding Yehoshua about he's going to be the one whose his job is to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And then Moshe is told, God tells Moshe that it's almost time for you to die. He tells Moshe that there's going to come a time where the people are going to stray. They're going to go far off the track. And Hashem writes in the Torah that I am going to hide my face from them on that day. There's going to be a great concealment of God's presence, which is exactly what's going on today. And it's going to be this double concealment. It's going to be a concealment amidst the concealment. We're almost not going to, there's going to be so much evil going on in the world that we're almost not going to know where God is. And then comes the verse that we're going to talk about. And then this is Va'ata. So now, having said all that, Kitzvu lachem es ha-shir hazas. Write down this Torah. Write down the Shira, the song, the praise, referring to the Torah. V'lamdas b'nei Yisrael. Teach it to the Jewish people. Sima b'fihem, that should be placed in their mouths. There's emphasis on the mouth. Lema'an, so that Tiali Hashira says this song, this Torah, should be la'ed as a witness with Bnei Yisrael, with the children of Israel. And it's going to be a witness that one day we're going to go back into the land of Israel, and we should strengthen ourselves, hold on to the Torah, and one day we're going to get out of this period of concealment, and Hashem will take us back into Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach. So it says this Vasemis. He writes like this. We have to understand what is the concept of the Torah? How does it come in exactly over here? What does it mean that the Torah is a witness? What about having the Torah is considered a witness? And then we have to understand, how does this counteract all the concealment? That means Hashem tells us there's going to be this great concealment. And what are you going to do about the concealment? Write down the Torah. That should place it in the mouth of every Jew. What does this mean? So, writes this Vasamas. Ki koidim hachet. He says, before sin, before this sin in the world, haya hashchina, the divine presence, Shuruya rested b'soch b'nei Yisrael amongst the Jewish people b'hiskalus. It was open revelation. We don't know what this looks like. We've never really seen it. But we have to keep on reminding ourselves that the way things look today is not really the way things used to look, and not the way things are supposed to look in a certain way. Before there was sin in the world, there was open revelation of God. It's hard to imagine, but just try and picture such a scene where, wait, it wasn't a question of, does God exist? Do I believe in God? Do I not believe in God? It's like, open up your eyes. Here he is. It's like Mashiach times. It's going to be, there was open revelation. The divine presence was revealed. There was no concealment. There was no question. There was no, where is God? Does he exist? Should I believe in him? Should I not? It was open revelation of God. But when we go into exile, specifically, when we're sent out of the land of Israel, Kesiv, the Pasuk says that we're going to say that there's no God amongst us, and Hashem is going to hide his face. There's going to be this terrible, strong concealment of Hashem's presence in the world. That's what happens.
Yeah, when you say that there was no question, destruction of the first temple, there was idolatry. And idolatry was believing in other gods.
Edgar of W. asking.
I'm not so sure you can say that there was only the trust in the one God, because there was this constant concern and thinking that there were other gods and we had to deal with. That's what the prophets constantly said was going on. I'm not sure that we got to what you're suggesting now. Until the time of the temple, the second temple period, maybe it's actually the Talmud, that we actually get to that point of saying, no, there's absolutely only one.
Rav David, you're bringing up an excellent point. Thank you. And let me clarify a little better what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to be, curmudgeonly, but I also want us to be truly understanding of how.
Absolutely. Your questions are always welcome and they're always good. So questions are the way to go. So let's try and explain this. You're absolutely right. But let me explain this and clarify this. Before the sin of Adam, that the revelation was, everything Reb David was just describing was after the sin of Adam. Before the sin of Adam, even though Adam sinned, that's a different story. But before the sin of Adam, there was open revelation. There it truly was. Before the sin of Adam. After the sin of Adam, everything was changed forever. And yes, Rav David is correct, that the level of open revelation was not open enough that it was impossible for somebody to serve an idol. It was possible. But even so, anybody who truly didn't have any bias and wanted to open his eyes, would see God. That means, try and think of it like this. When we had a bit, it means before the sin of Adam, there was clear revelation. After the sin of Adam, it went down a level. But try and imagine what it was like in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, and you had this, the miracles that were taking place. Think about that. In the temple, every single day, there were 10 miracles, I believe, that took place every single day. Anybody who went there, just look, this is the house of God. Take a look at what's going on over there. Every single, so many elements of it were miraculous. You felt godliness when you were in Yerushalayim, when you were in Eretz Yisrael, when you were in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not open enough that if somebody truly wants to follow his desires, he could come up with some sort of theory and say that there's no God. Yes, Rav David's correct. But anybody who is not, doesn't have his own agenda and is just taking an open look at the world, I'm going to go visit the Beis HaMikdash, he wouldn't have a question. If you would be in the bed, there's always going to be free will. There will always be the ability for us to distort reality and look at it the incorrect way. But without that, if you would just go, like I say, if you would just go on Sukkos and see what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash, we would walk out of there, not just inspired. We would walk out of there just mouths open from the outpouring of godliness in that place.
I've heard stories about people on the Western Wall that have never experienced anything in their life in Judaism and approach the Western Wall.
And they leave. Feel.
Yeah, they actually feel and leave with
absolutely. The same feeling. Absolutely. That is definitely possible. But it's also possible to have my experience at the Western Wall the first time where I went expecting that and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's also possible. You know, I went there. First time I thought I would, feel something big. And yeah, I was a young kid. I was, 13 or something like that. And I went there and saw a wall and I prayed and I left. And I was very disappointed. Mm-hmm. So there's a concealment that's taking place. The fact that I could be standing by such a holy place and not feel anything is obviously my bad. But at the end of the day, that does say, you're right, Josh, there are many, many people that go there and change their lives. Mm-hmm. And we could find it. We'll talk about it, how to find it. So there definitely is a concealment today. Now the question is it all over? Right, like Josh was bringing up. Is it all over today? If we're saying that there's such a big concealment, is there any way to find Hashem? Mm-hmm. Or is it just, that's it, too bad?
Rabbi Miller, look into nature.
Look into nature, right.
Just look at a simple nature. Orange.
That's right. That is right. Josh is right. Josh is right. You're looking at a simple orange, and you see the wonders of their creation. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely right. Let's see what this Fas Avos is. He writes like this. Whenever, I'm going to preface a little bit. Whenever it says that Hashem is hiding, what is the definition of hiding? What is the definition of when something is hidden? I'll give you another example where something is hidden. It says when God created the world, he created it with a light. He saw that that light was too great to be left out in the world because there are going to be people who don't deserve that light. So he went and he hid that light. Mm-hmm. So you have this concept of the sun here and Hashem hid it. He's revealed and he hides himself. What's the definition of something hidden? The definition of something hidden is always that it's there, just you can't see it. Right? If something isn't there, it's not hidden, it's just not there. Right, if you have a kid who's hiding from his father, right, the kid is there, he's just, you can't see him. Mm-hmm. If the kid leaves the house, he's not hiding, he just left. So it's important to keep this in mind. Whenever we see words like this, where it says, Hashem says, I'm going to hide this light, I'm going to hide my presence. Hiding always means that Hashem is right there, mm-hmm. just he's hiding. Now, all we need to do is find the hiding place. Right, do you understand the difference? If Hashem would have said that if you misbehave and you don't follow the Torah, I'm leaving, whatever that means, then there's no point in looking because he's gone, so to speak. It doesn't say that. It says Hashem said, I'm going to hide myself when you sin. I mean, I'm going to be right here, just hidden. So all we got to do now is find the hiding spot. If you find the hiding spot, you found Hashem. Because Hashem is right here. He's just hiding. So all we need to do is find where he's hiding. And Hashem in his kindness revealed to us his hiding spot. Mm-hmm. And that is this verse that we just read. Write for yourself the Torah and it should be available and accessible to every Jew. And that will be the witness that I exist. Because as Hashem is right, then I'm going to read to you the words. Hashem Yisparach, God, Nimtza, is found, the Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. Where do we find them? In the Torah, through the Torah is where we could find Hashem. He's hiding in the words of the Torah, so to speak. God commanded Moshe, Lignois, call Ha'aris. He told him, take all the great light, all the great revelations that you've seen, take them all and hide them inside the Sefer Torah. So Sefer Torah, and he writes one more thing. That's why the Torah is called the Eidus. It's called a witness. Why is the Torah called a witness? It's a witness, Shashchina Shari Yisrael. It's a proof and a living witness that the divine presence still is in the amongst the Jewish people. Because if we access the Torah, we'll uncover the divine presence. We'll draw it out. So in a minute, we'll explain how to do that. How do we get it out of the Torah? How do we extract this godliness from the Sefer Torah? Well, we'll explain that in a minute. But first of all, just to understand, that means like this. That means that it's not all lost today. It's not all lost. Hashem is concealed, but He told us where to find Him. The place to find Him isn't in the Torah. And that is why you find that we can study Torah, and we can come out of studying Torah for an hour, for 2 hours, maybe over a year, and we can feel like different people. Right? But that we do know. I can tell you, I've been to the, like I said, I went to the coastal, to the Western world, and I didn't come out. My first time, like a different person. But having studied Torah for many, many years, that changed me. Not to say that I am this great person. That's not at all what I mean to say. But at the end of the day, I can't say I'm the same person I was when I was 13, mm-hmm. a couple of years later. And that is the Torah. The Torah, studying Torah changes the person. And that is witness, and you can see this, by the way. You see this with so many people, that they just start studying Torah, and you watch them become more refined. You watch them become, doesn't always happen. We'll explain in a minute why not, maybe. Mm-hmm. But they become more refined. They suddenly start to lose their interest in certain things that was so vital to them. Remember, I had this kid who came to yeshiva, and he was like the best basketball player in his previous school where he was. And he came to my yeshiva, and he was really into basketball. And I remember just watching him apply himself to his studies, applying himself to Torah. And he didn't become this radical guy. I'm like, I'm not touching a basketball anymore because it's a Bissel Torah. It's a waste of time studying. He just slowly just lost interest. If you gave him a free hour, he was more interested in learning Torah than playing basketball. It wasn't that he made this resolution that he's not playing basketball. He just, the Torah study that he was doing just changed him. You know, and you watch this with everyone. You watch it with us. We all change through our study of Torah. We have to understand that what's happening is that when we study Torah, that's the main place that we could connect to Hashem, the main place where we could uncover the hidden godliness that's been hidden from the world. So when we study it, what we're actually doing is uncovering light. And when we uncover light, it lights us up. And the more that we do, the more that we light up. This is, like I say, it's not all lost. If we hold on to Torah study, we're holding on to the hiding place of where everything is. And that's why you see people that are just crazy. They're almost like, use the word lovesick with the Torah. Any spare minute you watch them, they're just, all they want to do is study Torah. Because what they're being drawn to is the hidden light that's hidden in the Torah. Moshe was told by God, if they sin, you can't reveal me on the streets anymore. But I'm going to be there. You just got to know where to look for me. You don't know where to look for me? You're going to find me in the Torah. Now, having said that, how do we extract this light from the Torah? How do we do it? How do we get it out? It's not easy. It's not just that, like, you open up a book and you do it and you find the Torah. How do we do it? So he writes like this. He writes one line. And I was actually learning a Gemara about it this week with a different Chavrusa. And let's expand on this a little bit. He says, "Va'alidei hayegia b'Torah." The way to find it is by toiling in Torah, not just reading it, not just studying, but toiling, working hard, using one's brain, fighting sleep, pushing oneself in a time when it's hard. When we do that, then the reward for that is miskala ha'aras hakedusha. The Torah responds by saying, let me reveal to you what's hidden inside these words. So what the Sfasamas is saying is, he's writing that if we just take a Torah and we read it, not to say that we're going to find this light that's hidden. Like any hiding spot, you got to work hard to find it. If we don't work hard, this is the big secret why there's such a big deal about toiling in Torah. It's not enough just to, you know, take a nice sefer and sit on your couch and read it, put your feet up. We have to apply ourselves to it. We have to get to a concept that's hard for our brains to understand, and we have to sit down, and if anybody has some opportunity over Shabbos to sit down with a chavrusa or by oneself and study some Torah, we're very tired very often, and we're distracted maybe, and we want to do a bunch of other things. But if on Shabbos we could just take a little bit of time, sit down and push ourselves a little bit just to study some Torah, times like that, you could find the light. Because when we toil, we uncover the secret. But if we just, you know, pick it up and, you know, sit back and just sort of read it over, it's nice, might be inspiring, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about extracting light. How do you extract? It's like somebody's mining. How does he mine? You don't just come with a little basket and with your hand and try and get some coal out of there. You got to push and toil and sweat. And the more we do that, that's what we have to understand. The more we do that, the more light we're going to uncover from the Torah. Everything is hidden. We have to realize we have this treasure, we have this diamond that we have. And
it builds more self-confidence, according to Rabbi Brock.
Studying Torah?
Yes, that was one of his week's Torah portions.
Really?
Studying Torah increases our emunah and Hashem, which in turn builds our self-confidence.
Which builds our self-confidence. The point would be, Josh, I'm thinking 100%.
He didn't have kind words to say about art school.
Okay, well, we'll put that aside.
I always enjoyed Rabbi Brock.
Okay, I'm not going into that. But the point is like this, right? I understand what you're saying. But let's put that aside for now. The point is, and what Rabbi Brock is saying too, is that when we study Torah, we access everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's there. Like you said, you're going to uncover your emunah. Your faith is going to get stronger. How is all that happening? Because the light's there. The light is all hidden in the Torah.
Digging it out.
You got to dig it out.
Working hard.
You got to dig it out.
Getting rid of art scroll and just going with the text.
Well, that is a personal...
Correct. You need to go
personal.
Down the middle of the line.
The middle line, Josh. You got it. Very good.
I'm listening to something.
You're listening. Yes, that is right. You got to go down the middle line, and everyone has to know what their level of toil is.
Yes.
Right. For some people, even if they're reading an English book, but just the fact that they're reading it and not doing something else is already considered a strong form of toil. Mm-hmm. For other people who could be doing more, then that would be called easy. So then they got to toil more. It's very, very personal. That's why we never talk about...
I've not gotten rid of my art scroll yet.
It's a very personal thing. Each person has to know where is he up to and where is he pushing. You always got to be pushing.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. We can never just cruise. We always got to be pushing.
Stagnant.
So you can't be stagnant. Exactly. So you got to push. You got to toil. Wherever... Again, personal, where we are, what's called toiling for us. But whatever we toil with will be where we're going to uncover more. And now let's see, we have a few minutes left. Let's see if we can get to the second part. So he writes like this. He writes that v'yitachen, and it seems to be lermais, what's being alluded to over here is, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar l'Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, shehador shelahem, that their generation, they were the root of all generations. This generation of the Midbar, of the desert, they were the root for all future generations. They were obligated lashav to do teshuva, to repent, gam al hachata'im, even on the sins shel doros acharonim, of the later generations of today. It's an unbelievable thing what he writes over here. He writes like this. And this is where we're going to talk about teshuva. He writes, now that generation already did teshuva on the sins of our generation. It's an unbelievable thing. That means like this. The sins that's going on today with us, they never did that. Right? And the generation that received the Torah, the generation that went through the desert, they were on a level where they didn't do our sins. But because they're the root of all generations, they were actually able to do teshuva even on the sins of all later generations. That means even before we've sinned, our grandparents have already done teshuva for us. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds cool. right? But what does that mean? Right? It sounds great. What does that mean? What does that mean? He writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them what's going to be the end of times. He told them that in the later years, in the later generations, he showed them what it's going to look like in 2020. He showed them. He said, this is going to be your great, great, great grandchildren. Take a look at them. And do teshuvah now on what they're about to do. On what they're doing. Yeah. What does this mean? So this is how I understand it. This is how I understand it. Let's try and get this straight. What does it mean to do teshuvah? What it means to do teshuvah is to return. To return means that wherever you are, you could return. That's what it means to teshuvah. Teshuvah means that wherever you've gone, whichever path in life you've chosen, whichever route you've traveled, you could always return to Hashem from there. How do you return to Hashem? Find him. Find him through the Torah. Find him through the Torah because he's there. You could be miles, spiritual miles away, but you could return. Mm-hmm. But there are some places where we go to where we feel like after I've done that, I can't return. I can't get back. I can't get back to my level after I've done X, Y, Z. That's too far. After what's happening today where the world's at, the world can't return. I can't return. We're too far gone for teshuvah. And that's what they did for us. What it means that they did teshuvah for us was that they opened up a gate that anywhere in the world, any level spiritually, it's possible to return and find Hashem through the Torah. That's what it means. When it says that they did teshuvah for us, it doesn't mean that we don't have to do teshuvah. But what gives us the ability to return with confidence and say that we could find Hashem anywhere? They did that for us. They opened up they said, we know what you're going to do. And we know that there's the option of returning to Hashem from there. That's what it means. We know what the world's going to look like before Mashiach comes. We know how far down on the spiritual ladder it's going to go. But we are creating an ability, wherever you are, that you have the Torah, you will be able to return and uncover Hashem right where you are in your spot. And the Sfasem is right. That's why it says, that's why it first talks about the sins that we're going to do. Then it talks about teshuvah. And then it talks about the Torah. Because we're going to sin. And the earlier generations knew that we're going to sin way more than they did. And they did teshuvah for them. They did teshuvah for us. And they told us how to do it. And they told us that if you have the Torah, you'll be able to uncover Hashem in his hiding place. Because he told us the secret where he's hiding. How do we uncover Hashem through the Torah? We got to toil. We got to work hard. We got to work hard. We got to really, really apply ourselves to our Torah study. So, if we were to just summarize what we're saying, and in a little more of a Rosh Hashanah tone, mm-hmm. right? We have to realize that our lifeline that we have is the Torah. If we lose grip of the Torah, and we say we want to be Jewish without the Torah, it's impossible. Because Hashem is hiding. He's concealed. Where are you going to find him? You're not going to find him anywhere. The lifeline, the diamond that we have is the Torah. Mm-hmm. The Torah is where we're going to find light. The Torah is going to change us. The Torah is going to shape us and refine us and make us better people and uncover Hashem. If we want to feel Hashem in our lives, the way to do that is through the Torah. But it's not every Torah study that's going to get that. Some people can study Torah and it's not going to change them. The only way to uncover the Hashem in the Torah is working hard. And we have to keep this in mind that we, like I said, it's very personal. Each person, not getting into it. What's called pushing oneself. But wherever a person is, if we could just, you know, if we look at Torah study, I'm talking to myself, obviously. If we look at Torah study as something that we do when it works, and when it's enjoyable, and when it's a good time, and when it's nice and fun and it's exciting mm-hmm. and good packaging, that we haven't really uncovered the light of the Torah. Because we're just fitting it into our box, into our life. But the way to go, a good example, by the way, is something that we all do together, is that we have a set time where we learn every week. Now, what happens when you make a set time to study is that some weeks it's easy to make the time, some weeks it's hard to make the time. If I only study when I have time, not on a schedule, then I'm not doing that. But if we have a time that this 8:15 to 9, I'm not saying you have to do this, but theoretically, if 8:15 to 9 on a Thursday night I study Torah, what we're making that statement is it makes no difference what's going on in my life. I am going to push myself and study Torah at this time. That's where we uncover the light. That's where we find Hashem. That's where we become changed people. When we don't just put the Torah in our lives in a place where it fits, but we fit ourselves into the Torah. We go into the Torah as opposed to just letting the Torah come into my life when it appears exciting and fits in. We uncover Hashem by toiling the Torah. When we do that, we can do teshuva from wherever we are. And the earlier generations already did it for us. They opened up a gate that from every single place, any generation, any sin, no, someone could come, we've said this so many times, someone could walk in here and tell us that he did X, Y, Z, and we're not going to be faced. We're going to tell him, you could return. Mm-hmm. Take a Torah, start applying yourself to it. You could return. We could return. They already opened up the gate that from every spot where we are, you could return. All we got to do is just apply ourselves and uncover it. But it's already there. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
you.
Good Shabbos. So all going well, we will do next Thursday night and we'll do something on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, all going well. Have a beautiful Shabbos.
You too.